week. What chapter our exam was on last time, you remember? So guess what next we're going to be on? There you go. I know I'm taking a lot of time to deal with the will, but I want to. A lot of times things you can't get done unless you get done in an intimate setting, teaching setting like this. Because we've been on a trail, some things can be said, some insight can be given that normally can't be given in a, on a casual coming together. So I know I've been taking time on the will, but I want you to understand how powerful your will is and how, as mature Christians, we have to shift the blame. Let me say it this way. Stop giving our power to everybody else or everything else.
Yes, sir.
Y'all understand what I mean when I say that? I was teaching one time, and I made the statement that whether you cause the problem or not, when you blame somebody else, you give them the power to change it. They may not want to change anything. But when you accept responsibility for whatever thing that's going on in your life, you maintain the power to change it. And so what happens, we see in Genesis, the third chapter, we see that Adam and Eve begin to play this blame game. And when they begin to play this blame game, they gave the power away to change the situation. You see, so you don't ever put yourself, that's why the will is so important, because your will is what we say the final frontier before action is put into place. Everything else feeds your will so that you can make a decision. And so with our will intact and our will properly trained, it's possible for us to change the course of our destiny, change what we don't like to what we like. Go with me to 1 John, the fifth chapter. See, we're more God, when God made us in His image, He made us in His image so that we can mirror Him. God made us in our image, in His image, that we can be a container of Him. This is why the Bible makes so many references about, especially in John, in the book of John, where it talks about, I think it's the 14th chapter, where it says Jesus will come make our abode, His abode. I think it's John 14, 21, I think it is. I think, not sure. I think we'll look to make sure. He will come make our, if we keep His commandment, He'll come make His abode with us. It makes reference of God living on the inside of us, Jesus living on the inside of us. And the purpose of 23rd chapter?
No, it's the 14th chapter, verse
23. Verse 23. Okay, verse 23. Matter of fact, turn now. Thank you. John 14, verse 23. Then we'll come back to 1 John. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he would keep my words, and my Father would love him, and we would come unto him and make our abode with him. Other words, this is just the fulfillment of the image that we're made of. So our will with Jesus, even though God the Father, Jesus, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us, it's still up to our will to release them. It's still up to us. It's our choice whether we want to express them or not. So a will that is not trained, a will that is immature, will always be tripped up by Satan to make wrong decisions. Are y'all seeing this? Last week, we began to talk about the milk of the word and the meat of the word. And when I got on my ride home, the Holy Spirit says every scripture in the Bible has a milk version and a meat version. It has a, every scripture in the Bible has a milk version and a meat version. It's based on where you at, what you're going to get. You see, he said, he got some things I want to tell you, but you can't handle them now. So I have to let you stay on the milk. That has to do with your will. That has to do with how you make decisions. Because it went further on, it says, in that passage we talked about last week, it says, with my senses, I'm able to judge right and wrong. That's a trained will. That's a will that no matter what happens, no matter what's said, no matter what is presented to me, I'm gonna make a decision based on God. I'm gonna make, even when it comes to doing two Christian acts, I'm gonna do what God is telling me to do. Based on will. Look in John the 14th chapter, and we just read it. He makes a good point. He said, watch this. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the words which he hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So Jesus is saying, for those that don't keep his word, they're not his. So now we got people, when they say not his, he's meaning I can't use them. So now we got Christians who not keeping his word, so God can't use them. Are y'all saying this?
Yes,
because they will keep getting tripped up. Go with me to 1 John, the 5th chapter. There's no more, we can no longer use the statement, the devil made me do it.
Right.
We can't use that, statement.
Right.
A mature Christian can't use that statement.
Right.
Maybe one who's on milk that need to pass the blame.
Right.
But a mature Christian who's on the meat of the word can't. Because a mature Christian will always recognize that conviction. That's scratching on the inside. They're saying, wait a minute, think about what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. Think about it. Scratching. I feel uneasy. You ever been in a situation you feel uneasy? That's your conscience scratching at you. That's a mature Christian. That conscience scratching your will, scratching you, saying, hey, think about it. Let's reevaluate this. Because thank you, Holy Spirit. If you pray right, what do I mean if I pray right? Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. If I pray right, what's the right way to pray? All you do is look at the master. Look at the master and see the master's way of praying. And we'll come back to 1 John. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I was telling another class, this is a great time to say. I know another class, you're in your prayer class with Reverend Thompson, and she's doing an excellent job.
Amen.
Do you know the purpose of prayer? Do you know the real purpose of prayer? I'm reading a book now. I'm reading a book, and in the book, the author gave an illustration of how most Christians pray. Little boy came home from school. And man, he came home, rushed through the door. Dad, look, we got to pray. We got to pray right now. Okay, son, what you want to pray about? Dad, look, we got to go to God. I need you to pray with me that God changes and make Detroit the capital of Vermont. So, Daddy, look like, what kind of prayer is this? Why you want me to pray? Son, why do you want me to pray that Detroit become the capital of Vermont? Because, Dad, that's what I put on my geography test today. I need, God got to intervene. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to change the universe based on our decisions. The purpose of prayer is to change our decisions based on his universe.
Right.
Are you seeing this? So when we go to God in prayer, it should be not, God, I need you to do this, 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 and this. It should be, God, what do you want me to do? Because when I go to God, when I seek him first, before I make any decisions, then I'm able to get the right decision to make. Once I get the right decision to make, my will is trained that we're going to do this. Is this making sense? A lot of times we want to go to God after we made a decision and then want God to change the universe based on what we decided we want to happen. And God ain't changing it. That's why a lot of prayers go unanswered. Because a lot of prayers go unanswered because it's changing. Wants to change God to change something after we've made a decision. Yes, sir. Is this making sense? Yes, sir. So our will, we see here in Matthew, the sixth chapter, how to pray. In the ninth verse. Jesus, and I love how Jesus said, after this, what?
Manner.
Pray ye this. So that's what Jesus was saying is, you don't necessarily have to use these words. But I need you to grab this concept. I need you to be in this frame of thought when you pray. If you remember from last year, from Alliance of Honorable Men class, I began to deal with becoming God-centric as compared to self-centric. A lot of us pray self-centrically instead of God-centrically. We pray self-centered instead of God-centered. Now, can you look at this prayer? Let's read through this prayer. Watch this. Let's read through this prayer. Now, I'm talking about the will now. I'm still dealing with the will because this is very important. Because we can't go to God in prayer, God give us insight, and we choose not to do it.
Wow.
Let's read through the prayer. After this manner, pray, therefore ye pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now watch this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13 is what I want to get to. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So therefore, anytime we go in a direction that's going to lead us to be separated from God, that conviction is going to scratch us. It's going to scratch. Because when you're praying right, this is what you ask God to do. God, search me. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Right? So therefore, when God points these things out, it's still up to us to make the decision not to do it. See, God ain't going to make the decision for you not to do it. That's why your will got to be on point. Because it's not God that's going to make that decision. It's going to be you. It's not God going to tell you to walk away from this. It's not going to be God to walk away from it. You're going to have to walk away. He may tell you to walk away from it, but you got to decide you're going to do it. It's got to be you to make that decision. So this is why your will has to be on point. That's why God can't give in-depth kingdom instructions to somebody who can't have a strong will. So it's important that our will be developed so much to where we see sin coming a mile down the road. We see, I can't mess with this. We see all, you got to be able to see deception. You got to be able to see when game is being run. This is why you have to stay connected state, spending time with God, so that you can stay spiritually alert. Are you seeing this? Go to 1 John. Now we get to 1 John 5. It's important, the will, where your will is, where you are in your maturation process of your will determines how much God talks to you. Because all through the Bible, you see different phases say, I have a lot to tell you, but you can handle it now. The reason why they couldn't handle it is because they will. Because where they were in their will, their mindset, they couldn't handle it. Case in point. Jesus come along, Jesus said, he's talking to the disciples. These are the people this is the apostles that are around him. These are the people that's going to take what he's done and bring it to the world. He said, you're gonna drink my blood and eat my body, eat my flesh. They say a bunch of them start walking away. He has to look at the disciples and say, what y'all gonna lead to? See, because their will wasn't fortified, wasn't mature, Jesus come along and say something like that and it scared them off. You're not going to get to the next level hearing what you already heard. You're not going to get to the next level in God hearing what you've already heard. So sometimes you're going to hear stuff in the spirit that's going to be above your understanding. The question is, are you going to run or not? Your will has everything to do with that. Where are you at in your will? How mature are you in your will? Are you going to run? Are you seeing this? Oh, let's get to it. I've been trying to get to it for the last 15 minutes. Huh? First John 5. Verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You see that? And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. All right. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4 is what I want to get to. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The first verse is a foundation. It says, watch what it says, because look at it says, whosoever believe that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Right?
Yes,
verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So that means because you believe in Christ, don't mean you're going to overcome the world. Right. Verse 4 is telling us what overcometh the world. When God can use you. Whatsoever is the revelation, is the insight. Whatsoever is born of God, whatever action is born of God, overcometh the world. Right? If my will is not prepared, I can get the whatsoever and don't do the whatsoever. So that's how I am a Christian that can't overcome the world. That's why I'm a Christian when the cares of the world show up, I go and pay attention to the cares of the world instead of what God is telling me. Because of my will. You have to have a level of maturity in your will than when you are faced with the cares of the world trying to stop you from doing what God has asked you to do. Are you going to let it stop you, or are you going to do what God has asked you to do? See, listen to me very carefully. Satan is not backing off. And if you don't watch yourself, you'll let Satan put you in a defensive mode instead of an offensive mode. It's not a, it's not a, it's not a fact of because this is going on in my life, I'm going to stop.
Right.
Right.
Because I got this going on, that don't mean I'm going to stop and begin to focus on this. Are you seeing it? Whatever I focus on. So if I focus on this, it's going to do number what? Right? But your will, watch this. An immature will. What do you mean by what you mean by immature will? When I'm faced with the cares of the world and the will of God, the cares of the world and the cares of God, when I'm faced with the two and I have to make a decision, my will going to determine which one I do. So now if I hadn't been spending time with God, why do you think God waited, excuse me, why God waited so long to test Abraham with Isaac? He had to make sure his will. Because I got a son and I got, God, you're going to talk to me. You're going to really talk to me, God. I don't know if I'm just going to just go up to this mountain and just put a knife to my son's neck. I'm just being real with y'all. That takes a level of mature will that comes from trusting God. Abraham didn't all of a sudden decide, I'm going to turn away, God. I know, God. How you going to give me this son, then take him away? And I know, watch this. I know Satan was there talking to him.
Yes, sir.
Right.
You've been trusting this God all this while. You've been asking him for a son. He gave you a son in your old age, gave you a son. Now he asks you to sacrifice. What kind of God is that? What kind of God you serving?
Wow. Yeah.
Now remember what I told you. You can't go to the next level in God hearing what you already heard. You can't go to the next level in God just doing what you've already been doing.
That's right.
So here it is, Abraham. God has opened the door for Abraham to go to the next level. Actually, Abraham's next level was all our next level. Because if it wasn't for Abraham doing what he did, God couldn't have sent Jesus.
Right.
Someone had to do it in earth realm first before God can do it. This is why Matthew 6:33 is so powerful.
Yeah.
See, God can't deal with the cares in your life until you open the door for him to deal with the cares of his life. So watch this. Think about it this way. Talking about the will. Think about it this way. If I'm over here trying to take care of the cares of my life, all the issues of my life, if I'm trying to take care of them, I'm in the way. So what God is trying to get me to do is get out of the way. How do he get me out of the way? Focusing on what he wants. He gets me out of the way, so then now the door is open for him to do something about it. Because earlier in the sixth chapter, it says, which one of us can add one cubit? Right. By taking thought, can add one cubit? If you knew what to do. But it takes will to be able to say, God, I'm trusting you.
Yeah.
You have to make the decision. God ain't not going to push you out of the way off your care.
Right.
You have to yield it up to him. You have to lay it on the altar.
Yeah.
You have to decide to go to Matthew, the 11th chapter. End of the 11th chapter. Watch this. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's an understood you there. Right before come. You come. Unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have to make the decision. That's why it takes a strong will. You got to make the decision. Watch this. Watch what it says. Take my yoke upon you and what? Take my yoke upon you and
learn.
Take my yoke upon you and
learn.
So if Jesus saying, take my yoke and learn of me, that must mean the yoke is what? The word. Take the
word.
And
learn.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Take the
word.
And
learn.
Take the
word.
And
learn.
John 1. In the beginning.
Word.
And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word became.
Yes.
And the word dwelt among us.
Yes,
Jesus saying, take my yoke word and
learn.
Just have to do with the will. You got to decide to do this. Because if you take the word and
learn,
what's supposed to happen? You'll find rest for what?
Soul.
You'll find rest for your what?
Your soul.
You'll find rest for your what?
Your soul.
No, your spirit.
Your soul.
Wow. So let's think, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's think about this. What would give your soul rest?
Yeah.
See, not being able to worry about. So if I take the word, the yoke,
yeah.
Something that's put on the head of an oxen or a cattle or a horse that will guide them. Cause them to go in a certain direction. Are you seeing this? So I take the word and I'll find rest for
my soul.
So that means if I'm worrying, my soul ain't resting. If my soul ain't resting, that means I ain't learning. If I ain't learning, that means I ain't got the yoke. So, but if I take the yoke, the word, and learn, I'll find rest. And what else is supposed to happen? For my what? This is Matthew 6:33. So Jesus is really saying, if you take the word and learn of me, you'll find rest for your soul, right? Because the word or the instructions I'm giving you, they are
easy.
And they are
life.
They are easy. And they are light. As compared to you over here worrying. But if I don't take the word and learn of him, I'm not going to find rest for my soul. So I'm going to keep this heavy yoke and heavy burden. See, either I'm going to take the yoke of the word to guide me, or I'm going to let my situation guide me. So now, I'll be making decisions. If I don't have this yoke, I'm not going to make decisions based on the word. I'm make decisions based on my situation. If I make decisions based on my situation, I'm just digging a deeper hole. But if I make my decision based off this yoke, the word, then I find rest for my soul. Why is my soul resting? Because we swapped.
Yeah.
Jesus going to take care of something I couldn't take care of.
Right.
Right?
And I'm going to do something Jesus can't do.
Yeah.
Right. Oh. Oh, my goodness.
We are the body.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are the body
yeah.
of Christ.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
We are the body of Christ.
Right.
We are his feet. We are his hands. We are his arms. We are the ones that is doing in the natural what he can't do. Greater works than these. Not if I'm worrying. If I'm worrying, I'm making decisions based on my situation. Can I show up to help, Pastor? Well, I got this going on in my house. I got to take care of this. I can't show up. I got this cares of the world happening. Now you stand here, ain't changing nothing. You being in the situation ain't really changing nothing. Because you done been thinking about this and thinking about this, trying to do this, this ain't work. Trying to do this, ain't work. Trying to do that, that ain't work. But if you just take this yoke, the word, and learn of me, you will find rest. I love that. For your soul. Your soul is resting when you ain't worrying. When your mind ain't going 1,000 miles, 1,000,000 miles a second trying to figure out how I'm going to do this, how this going to happen, how this going to work. Seeing this. So your will, this is why your will has to be on point. Because if your will is not on point, then you can't walk away from the cares of the world. You can't, something come up in your life, and you can always tell Christians who are still in milk because situations happen in their life and they panic. They panic like God ain't done nothing for them before. Now, mind you, now, I'm not downing that. We've all been there.
Yes, sir.
We ain't supposed to stay there, though.
Yes, sir.
I don't mind somebody going through the maturation process, but keep going. Don't act like God ain't done nothing for you before.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
See, there's a maturation process that you're going through. And your will has everything to do with it. This is why your memory is so important. That's why Abraham built altars. So he could be reminded of what God has done. So that when the situation come up, he wasn't focused on this situation. Abraham didn't have no reservation when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. He had been through so much and God had delivered him already. That through each victory, his will became stronger. So now God is going to give him an ultimate. God was working toward this the whole time. He was working toward this the whole time. Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Every negative situation that Abraham faced and overcame was leading him to Isaac being sacrificed. And what did Abraham say? Out of all the stuff you could have said, he walking Abraham up, he said, the Lord will provide. The Bible says he was fully
persuaded.
That means his will was on lock. There was nothing Satan could tell him. There was nothing Sarah could tell him. I know she had some issues. That's if he told her. He probably better off not telling her. Fully persuaded. That's will. That's his decision. God gave him the instruction. I want you to sacrifice Isaac. He still had to make the choice. The negative side. All sin that's committed is committed by choice. That's why the reason the law was made. The law was made so that the Israelites can see, this is what you're doing that's wrong. Instead of them, they were trying to govern their life by the law.
Right.
When the law was just there to show them, when you do these things, that's what's wrong.
Right.
So before they were doing stuff, didn't know. Now you know. So now you're choosing. So all sin that is committed by choice. Are y'all getting this?
Yes,
so your will maturing, the maturity of your will determines how God uses you. Because God can't afford to give you instructions and you not do it. God gonna find somebody who can do the instructions. He ain't got time to be hee-hawing with you. Gonna find somebody else.
Yes, sir.
That's why he don't give. That's why he dealt with Paul. That's why he dealt with Peter. Man, Peter kept coming. Peter was strong-willed. He kept coming. He just kept coming back, would not turn around, just kept coming, make a mistake, get up, kept coming. That's why God used him. That's why God used the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't turn around. Paul said, as zealous as I was killing them, I'm going to be just that zealous saving them. His will, his choice, his desire, that's why God could use him. So the question is, how strong is your will? See, can God speak to you and you not let the cares of the world stop you? That don't come from that ain't no milk. That's meat. That's from you spending time with God. That's from you getting along with God. That's what you spending time with him and really wanting to understand who he is, what he's trying to accomplish. God, what are you trying to do with my leader? What, show me. God, I want to be a part of it. Show me what you doing. God, I want to be involved. Take my word and... Are y'all getting this?
Yes, sir.
The will is important because the will is what God gave us to love him. Without the will, it's robotics.
Yes, sir.
So no matter what's going on in our lives, it's not a matter of can it be changed. It's a matter of do we want to change it. If we want to change what we don't like in our lives, it's based on the decisions we're willing to make. Last word, we close it. Go to Isaiah 55. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, an unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thought than your thoughts. Do y'all see that? Look at what happened. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's a decision.
Yes, sir.
an unrighteous man his thoughts. We have been forgiven of our sins.
Yes, sir.
And his truth, past, present, and future. But in order for us to get to those higher ways, those higher thoughts, we're going to have to forsake those ways. This is why that hyper grace message is so dangerous. Because you can't move forward because you keep making decisions to keep you in the same spot.
Yep.
If God can't trust you to control yourself, have no temperance, why is he going to let you on the deep thing? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's talking to a wicked person. But if a wicked person forsake his or her ways, forsake, that's a decision. You're forgiven, but you got to forsake. You're forgiven, but you got to forsake. God do the forgiving, you do the forsaking. You have to forsake the unrighteous ways. Then you can access God's higher thoughts and higher ways. You don't access the ways because you're forgiven. You don't access the higher ways because you're forgiven. You access it because you forsook. You gave it up. That's will. See, that's why a person who's forgiven but don't forsake don't go high. Forgiveness is what God do. Forsaken, thank you, Holy Spirit. Forsaken is what we do. That's will. God forgives us, but I have to decide I ain't doing this. That old saying, the place I used to go, I don't want to go no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. That's my decision. It ain't no, watch this. It ain't no overpowering something that comes over you and you just don't. No, I got to decide. Now watch what brings that. I'm so appreciative of what Jesus did for me on the cross, I don't want to do anything to violate that. So if I don't really understand what Jesus did on the cross and the price he paid and the agony he went through for me so I don't have to go through that agony, of course I'm not going to forsake. I'm going to abuse it. So because of that, say no mind you're abusing grace. Say he don't mind you abusing grace. He don't mind you abusing it. Because you ain't going nowhere. You ain't doing nothing. You should have stayed a sinner. Because now you self-centric. God can't use you. All you worried about is your one-way ticket to heaven. So Satan, fine with you abusing grace. You ain't going to affect nobody else. God can't use you. Because you haven't forsaken. See, forgiven and forsaken. Always remember that. God forgives us. It's up to me to forsake. God forgives me, but it's up to me to forsake. Now grace will come in and empower me to forsake. But if I'm not aiming to forsake, grace ain't got nothing to work with.
Right.
If I'm not, watch this. Grace is nothing more than empowerment.
Right.
When grace comes on you, it allows you to do something you couldn't do before.
Right?
Right? So if grace is on me to forsake, then I'm going to walk out of this thing.
Right.
But if my decision is not to forsake, grace is going to come in and keep cleaning up the sin that I keep going through. Because all they're going to do is empower me to be clean again, for me to go get dirty again. It's going to come empower me to be clean again that I got dirty.
Yeah.
But when I make the decision to forsake, grace comes in and causes me not to do this no more. Gives me the power and I do this no more. Send somebody across my path when I'm getting ready to go there. Do something to cause me, to be empower me. I have a means of escape. But it's based on my decision, do I want to escape? See, I can keep asking forgiveness. I can keep doing the same sin, ask for forgiveness, keep doing the same sin, ask for forgiveness, but I'm no use to the kingdom. Because I'm not going to the high thoughts or the high ways because God can't trust me. He can't use me.
Right.
I hope y'all are hearing this.
Yes, sir.
So your will, I'm closing, your will has to go through a maturation process so that God can use you. Your spirit is ready, but is your will ready? Can God trust you? Can God look at you and choose you, knowing that if something come up in my life, that I'm not gonna leave him. I'm not gonna leave him hanging to go take care of my own personal issues.
Right.
I see y'all next week.